purpose perhaps to thrill and
Hello, Bridgeway. My name is Tim Samuel. I serve as Bridgeway Community Church's CFO. And I have a question for you. What one word would you use to describe to Jesus? What one word would you use to describe Jesus? For those of you watching online, welcome. Please use the chat room now to type in that one word you would use to describe Jesus. Do I have any volunteers? I will point to you, and if you can say it out loud, and I will repeat it. Do I have any volunteers over here that would use just one word to describe Jesus?
Love.
Love. Jesus is love. Anyone over in this section?
Almighty.
Jesus is almighty. Great word. Anyone over there?
Greatness.
Excuse me, man?
Greatness.
Jesus is greatness. Right here?
Holy.
Jesus is holy. Back there?
Awesome.
Jesus is awesome. What wonderful words to describe Jesus. Isn't that so awesome? We serve a God that we can use diverse words to describe Jesus. He's an amazing one. And today I would like to use one more word to describe Jesus. Jesus is a storyteller. Jesus loved to tell a story. People would travel from far. Thousands would gather just to listen to Jesus. Wasn't Jesus' life a story as well? We still read it to this day. Four different authors, four different accounts wrote about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wrote about Jesus' life. We read it, we sing it, we speak it. Jesus was a storyteller. And as I model my life, I try to be a storyteller as well, especially as a CPA. A certified public accountant. Some of you might say, whoa, are you sure a certified public accountant as a storyteller? Yes, they are wonderful storytellers, especially when we have to do an audit. I guess some of you have experienced an audit before, and you're like, where is this CPA going with this? Well, the reason I say this, for those of you who don't know what an audit is, let me spend a few minutes explaining it. An audit is when our elder board or our board hires an external firm and come check what your books are to see if what you're saying you're doing is what you're doing. So in preparation for an audit, we gather some documents. Bridgeway Community Church is currently conducting an audit right now. And so as we gather these many different documents to get checked by the auditors, we send it off to them, and then they go through a checklist to ask us some questions. They may call the bank directly to see what we say is in our books are on our books. They might come on site and talk to our staff to make sure what we say we're doing, we're actually recording. See, when you complete an audit, you set yourself apart because you are able to see your financial history looking back, assess where you are today, and pivot yourself towards the future. That gives you the confidence to tackle tomorrow. Audits give you a sense of pride, confidence that what you're spending your money on, the board could trust, the congregation can trust, people could trust what you're saying. And I believe Jesus told a story that helped audit our hearts. He did this by using parables, one particular parable, the parable of the sower, the parable of the farmer. And Jesus loved to tell stories, particularly parables. 42 of them were recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 42 parables, but only 7 of them were unique. And the parable of the sower was the same in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a powerful story. And I believe Jesus was trying to set his disciples apart, set us apart. So take an audit of the heart. So let's dive into scripture today, and we're going to start with the tax collector, Matthew. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And as we turn there in scripture, one of the things that Jesus loved to tell is a story to crowds. But what he also did, He debriefed it with his followers. He took some time to think about it and explain it to those who were following him. And so I'm going to break this parable up in four parts. And I'm going to ask us four questions, the audit of our heart. We're going to tell a story and take an audit. So that way we could pivot ourselves towards the future, knowing where we are. Matthew 13, verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to skip on to 19. So this is how Jesus told the crowd, the large crowds that were gathered. He said this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 in the NIV. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." He explains it to his disciples in verse 19. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path." Audit question number one. What is God speaking to me, and how is it being taken away? As I reflected on this verse, the farmer scattering some seeds, the first thought I came to my mind, what the heck is that farmer doing? The soil is over there. Why are you sowing it on path? And so as I spent some time reflecting on this scripture, I went back to my sixth grade. In it, we had a sixth grade yearbook where we got to fill out two questions. What's your favorite activity? And what are you going to do in your career? And my favorite activity was easy: collecting baseball cards. My second one was favorite career. And I was bold and proud Christian back then. I love sharing Jesus with my friends and everyone who circled me. So I wrote career choice, church ministries. Young Tim, this was strategic. You know why? Sixth grade summer was going to be lit. We're going to have 3-on-3 basketball tournaments. We're going to go to camp. I get to invite my friends and do some fun stuff this summer. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And after I tell them about Jesus, we're going to take over Belleville Middle School for Jesus. Because that's what God's called me to. I was so excited for the summer. The summer went by. It was a blast. But then the enemy came in. I didn't know this back then. But as I was contemplating this question, what is being taken away from me? I went into seventh grade, and my friends who were following Jesus that summer with me no longer was. They were actually making fun of me for it. They actually left it. I get so discouraged. I stopped sharing Jesus, not only with them, but with everyone. Have you been there? Oh, yes, you remember that day. You walk into work, you go over to get your cup of coffee, you're walking back to your cubicle when that coworker stops you, and he tells you, "I'm tired of you talking about Jesus in the office. Stop talking about it." And you did. And you never brought Jesus up to this day ever again. Have you been there? And as I reflected on this verse, I recognized the fact that my friends, your coworkers, your families are getting seeds snatched away. But I went one further. I helped the enemy out. I made sure it was nice and clean, that there was no seeds. Can I remind us today that the enemy and birds in our life are always going to be snatching seeds? Let's try not to help him out. Let's not believe what he's scattering away. Let's focus on that and say, "You know what? It's okay, Tim. I don't do the saving. The birds are always going to be snatching." I was able to look back and see how I need to pivot to now share the word of Jesus to many. Now let's go to the next audit question, audit question number two, and we're going to dive in to Dr. Luke's accounts of the parable of the sower, and it could be found in Luke chapter 8, verse 6. We're going to first look how Jesus told this wonderful story, A story that will help us set us apart. So let's take an audit of our hearts. Luke chapter 8, verse 6, and then I'll read verse 13. Luke 8. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. He explains it in verse 13. Those on rocky grounds are one who received the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in times of testing, they fall away. Audit question number two. What is God trying to root in your life? And how is it dying? What is God trying to root in your life? And how is it dying? I remember being so happy. I was graduating high school. I had a great group of friends. I was an excellent school newspaper writer. I had the trivia section, and people laughed at my trivia. I was so excited. I graduated top 25 in my class. I was so proud, and this time, I'm going to Messiah College to pursue accounting, because that sharing Jesus stuff, oh, that could remain for the preachers. I'm going to make money and let them share about Jesus. And so I head up to Messiah College, so excited to go there to pursue accounting. Get there first week, I want to go to the school newspaper and say, hey, I can write trivia. I write my trivia, submit it, and it doesn't get published. I take my accounting class. That test was really hard. The thing is, I was talking to my classmates, and it was easy for them. How come it's so easy? Well, Tim, we learned this in high school. Quickly, I realized a North Jersey public education is not the same as a private school education. I go for teacher for some help because it's a small school. Trying to root, my heart is growing rockier and rockier by the second. I go in for help, and he asks me, is English my second language? I'm from Jersey, what are you talking about? These rocks. My rocky heart was coming out, and I was slowly dying. And it finally died when I went back to my dorm room, and some innocent person asked me, do you eat turkey for Thanksgiving? I was completely dead. What is God trying to root in your heart, and how is it dying? Audit question number two. What is God trying to root in your heart, and how is it dying? Oh, you remember that. You first moved in your neighborhood. The brand new house, to you at least. And you were going to invite all your neighbors over, because you really are going to walk what Christ said, love thy neighbor. You knew how to throw a great game night, throw great parties, and you would call them all over. Until you wanted to go on vacation, and the bills got real. So you start looking at the bills, and you're like, I could probably cut back on some of these expenses. And then that one night, when that neighbor had a little bit too much to drink, and those new neighbors that have kids with food allergies, I'm tired of cooking three different meals. And as I sat back and thought about this, what is God trying to root in our lives, and how is it dying? I quickly realized that God was trying to plant in me to be a multicultural minister. But my rocky heart, it just died on. I was able to look back in my life and recognize this. So how do I propel? So let's go over the first two audit points. One, audit question number one. What in your life is being taken away from you? What in your life is being told to you by God, and how is it being taken away from you? Audit question number two. What is God trying to root in your life, and how is it dying off? Let's move on. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to take the scripture out of order. You got to trust me on this one, but I'm doing this strategically to share the story of my heart. So let's jump into Mark chapter 4. And right now we have two good questions to audit our hearts, to set ourselves apart, and to share our story, to share our story with Jesus. So let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Mark writes this, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and 100 times. Others," he explained this in verses 20, similar to the story, "others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The crowd was probably going nuts. One seed multiplies 30, 60 times? And all the farmer did was scatter seeds? He didn't cultivate it, he didn't plant it, he just dropped it? And one seed produced that much? That's the God we serve. That's the kingdom of God. This one seed. I remember this one seed being planted in my heart. São Paulo, Brazil. God dropped some truth in my heart. My dad was on business and he took me along. If you ever get a chance to go to Brazil, do it. It's a beautiful country. And so it was Sunday morning and I get to spend the whole day with my dad. He's not on business. This is my day with my dad. I get to eat some good food, maybe watch a soccer game. I was so excited. "Hey, Dad, where are we going?" "Tim, we're going to church." "What? Church?" "Yes, Tim, that's what we do. When I travel, I like to worship God in the places I go." "No, Dad. 52 different Sundays. We can worship church at home. Why are you doing this?" "Son, that's what we do." "I don't understand Portuguese. How are we going to go?" "Well, son, we're still going to go. We're going to experience God, even in a different language." My dad takes me. I still remember walking up that hill and seeing the city on its below the hill. And as I get into church, I'm disgruntled. I'm mad. I'm daydreaming. That's the last place I want to be. I was on vacation. And for those of you on vacation, thank you so much for coming to church. But that's not where I wanted to be. And then that seed God planted in my life. Audit question number 3. What one seed has God planted in your life, and how have you seen it multiply? What one seed has God planted in your life, and how have you seen it multiply? After the service, a man comes up to me and gives me a giant hug. And he says, "Hallelujah." In that moment, God spoke to me again. He said, "Tim, back in the United States, why do you worship at a Caucasian church, an African-American church, and in the afternoons you go to an Indian church? Why don't you uplift my name together? You know, all across the world in many different languages, we uplift my name. Why in America are you doing it so separately?" Wow, a seed planted in my heart. Fast forward, I start reading some books. This is big, because this is the first time the kid from North Jersey started to read. And so I start reading, highlighting authors, looking at analogies. One of the authors I highlighted was a young African-American preacher named Dr. David Anderson. He wrote a book called Multicultural Ministry. And for those of you who haven't read it, I know a majority of you probably have, but for most of you who haven't, I'm going to explain a couple of concepts from the book. One of the concepts I'm going to explain is, how do you do church like we do? How is it done? You know, there's a lot of churches in America that don't do church unique, so he inked a book that helped churches to deal with this. And so I read it, I opened it up, and it connected with my soul. Because now, the seeds are starting to take root. The seed, that one seed, is starting to take root. It's starting to grow up just a little bit. See, I opened the book and read a story of how we bring cultures together. See, he used an analogy of food, and I love food. And what he described is this. In the center of your meal, when you want to bring everyone together, put a dish like pasta, rice, tortilla chips, something that everyone could share and take a part of. On the sides of these dishes, put in other foods so we can all try and discuss. Whether it's mashed potato, whether it's kimchi, whether it's samosas, let's all participate in a common meal, but let's try. And this connected with me. I love food. And my mom. My mom was training me to be a multicultural ministry my whole entire life. See, I was so mad at her for always serving different meals to people. Just eat the food that my mom cooked. But not my mother. She always prepared a meal on the side just in case someone didn't like what she was serving. I had to serve under this pastor. I had to learn from him. So I Google it. Back in the day where you had to be connected to a computer, early stages of Google, and I type in Dr. David Anderson, and it comes up. In Columbia, Maryland, in Howard Community College, there's this church. It's only an hour and a half south of me. I call some of my friends, we go down, and we were ministered to that day. Fast forward. I get married. We head on to a trip to India. Saw my cousins get married. And we had the opportunity to go out to Agra to see the Taj Mahal. The Taj Mahal is beautiful. It's something made years and years and years ago. Before the days of Alexa, before the days of radio, years and years ago, the Taj Mahal was built. And as I sat there just looking at it, God did it again. He spoke to me clearly. And my life started to gain some buds. That one seed from Brazil is still multiplying in my heart 30, some 60, some 100 times. He told me this. God told me this. He said, Tim, I want you to work on a legacy. A legacy that lasts from generation to generation. And just like how the Taj Mahal has people coming from all walks of life, I want you to work on something like that. Something that calls everyone to my name and gathers. Something as grand and beautiful as the Taj Mahal. My wife and I start praying and praying. How can I leave a legacy like this? How do I do it? We visit some friends in Columbia, Maryland. We go to a Washington Wizards game. And thank God for a dad who taught me how to go to church, even on vacation. Because that Sunday morning, I went to church. I went to Bridgeway. I walked in the door. Got handed a bulletin, opened up the bulletin. Order of service, reading through the announcements. We're looking to hire a CPA. Stephanie, that's my wife's name. Let's try. I had one of the best interviews of my life, and as you can see, I've been hired. And everything that God was scattering on my life, looking back, I was right here. Looking back, He used. I was in a multicultural church, so I had to deal with talking to people that were not similar like me. And I had to communicate financial information to them when the economy collapsed in 2008. I had to tell people and communicate, hey, we got to make some budget cuts. They were also looking to purchase this building at this time. And everything I learned as a CPA, everything I learned there was used during this time. God multiplied this seed. You remember him, Coach K. He was the first person to instill leadership in your life. And you will never forget his influence on your life. Leadership award after promotion. You could look back past the rocky soil, past the enemy snatching your seeds, and you can say, you know what? God multiplied that one man's voice in my life. Or was it you? You went to Disney World. Your dad saved up all his life for this. Only one vacation you took, and it was to Disney World. And you felt like a princess. You felt like a prince. And to this day, you dedicated your life to feel like a prince, to make other people feel like a prince and a princess, especially children. What about you? You remember that fourth grade class? Still remember your notebook and what the teacher said? And now you're a teacher. You're giving your life that one seed, that just one seed. Ask yourself, what one seed has God planted in my life and how is it multiplying? Let's repeat ourselves. Audit question number one. What seeds has God scattered through my life? What is God speaking to me, and how is it being taken away? What is God rooting in me, and how is it dying? What one seed has God planted in my life, and how is God multiplying it? And I so wish right now this was the end of the sermon, this was the end of the parable. But I took it out of order, and the one thing God told me at Bridgeway Community Church, taught by the pastors and the ministers, God prepares a messenger to give a message. And right now, would you bear with me as I get vulnerable? Vulnerable about the part of the story I try to skip over. As a preacher, it'd be so easy to talk about, hey, what about your seed? Find that seed. Let it multiply. What is your calling? And just end right there. But God didn't write a parable or tell a story that didn't have the thorns in our life. Let's see what Mark chapter 4 talks about the thorns. Mark 4, verses 7 and 18. Remember, let's set our lives apart. Let's take an audit of our heart. That way we can see where we were, assess where we are, to propel where we're going to. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Still others, like seed sowing among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The farmer, he scatters seeds. Audit question number 4. What worries, what pleasures in your life, and how is it choking out your connection with the Holy Spirit? What are your worries in your life? What are your pleasures in your life, and how do you focus on it? And how is it choking out your connection with the Holy Spirit? You just heard Bridgeway is multiplying. Bridgeway is growing. We just purchased another building in Owings Mills, Reisterstown area. God is sending us, and we're being a city. We're being a diverse church, blessing so many people, feeding so many people. But why in my life did my spirit start shifting to the thorns? Thorns start looking prettier and prettier. See, as we were purchasing the building, we've saved up over years for what I thought was for fixing things. Fixing things like HVAC units, air conditions. The space we're in is nice and cool. But one day, those things are going to break. And so rather than asking you guys, we need hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix an air condition, we decide to save money along the way. But when we start spending it, I started getting worried. I started focusing on, wait, if no one gives any more money, what are we going to do? I started fixating. My life just pivoted. This is where I am right now. I don't care what has happened to me, but my focus has become on the thorns. And I started to like it, and I started to dwell in it. My mind started thinking of some crazy financial things. Things that would probably never happen. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to pay this? What happens if no one shows up to church? Just ridiculous questions. Have you been there? What about you? You've been working your whole life. 30 years, is it? And the week, you just still remember some of your coworkers. They have a pension, but it got cut right before you got hired. So you've been saving in this thing called a 401k. But you don't want to open that envelope because you know there's not enough money to live on. You're scared half of death, and all of a sudden the worries of this life is being focused on. You lived a good life. You had a ministry, but all of a sudden this gets blocked out, and the worries of this life is consuming you right now. To the point is, your wife who you loved for 30 years, for your family who you've loved on, you've kind of blocked them out. And you're just focused on the worries of this life. Well, Tim, who cares about savings and HVACs? I can't pay my BG&E bill right now. And all of a sudden, your worries Just become focused on what you can't have, what is happening in that beautiful little flower, that seed that can multiply 30, 60, 100 times begins to choke away. Have you been there? And as I sat and reflected on this sermon before I gave it to you today, I had to ask myself these four audit questions again to remind myself, to get me ready for this sermon. I didn't know how I was going to close this, but I knew I had to say something. And so audit question number one, how is God speaking to you and how is it being taken away? Audit question number two, what is God rooting in your life and how is it dying? Audit question number three, what one seed has God planted and how have you seen it multiply? Audit question number four, what roots, what thorns, what worries and pleasures in this life are you focused on? And how are you letting it get choked out? How is it choking out? So Mondays are our days off. I'll close with this final story. Mondays are our days off. And I decided to be super dad and take my kids to Cinderella's castle. Don't let them know, but that's Wegmans. And my other joke, but my wife is here. I didn't really want to be super dad. I just did it because my wife was tired. So, I take my kids. I take them out to Wegmans, and they had a blast. They watch some TV, they eat some broccoli, noodles, plantains, and sushi. I got some kids from Columbia, Maryland. We take them, and I'm going to be super dad. So I'm going to take them to the pet store down the road, and then I'm going to take them to the toy store. So we go to the pet store. They have a great time. We come walking out of the pet store. I have three kids, Eve, who's five, and twins, Luke and Julia, who are under the age of, or around three. I'm a great dad. And so as I'm walking with my daughter and my two other children, my youngest daughter finds something on the ground. She finds something on the ground. She picks it up. She holds it in her hand. It was a shiny penny. Dad, can I keep it? Sure, Eve. You can keep the penny. And being such a great dad I am, I knew exactly what she was going to say next. Exactly what I was going to say next. She was going to say, Dad, we're going to the toy store, right? Can I use that penny to buy another toy? And I was going to be super dad. Of course you can. We're going to Five Below. I can ball there. Everyone's going to get two toys. Two toys for everyone. But then my daughter picked up that penny and showed it to me. And all I saw was a seed. Because she asked me this. She asked me, Dad, you know that church? They're building a building. Can I give my penny to the church so they could build that building? And I just looked at her. And God spoke to me again, Bridgeway. See, my children were on a destination to the toy store. And God said this, hey, Tim, just as you were walking along with your daughter and she found a coin, don't you think I'm going to send a coin your way? Why are you so worried and focused on the thorns? I'm a God who multiplies. I'm a God that just needs one little seed, one penny. And I can multiply not 30, 60, 100 times in a life. I'm speaking to someone today who doesn't believe in this coin. Where in your life are you stuck in the thorns? It's okay. Where are you in your rocky soil? Where's that heart rocky? Use those stories and tell that story. God's given you a story. He's given you a story to share. It could be from your children. It could be from a video game. God speaks to you in many different ways. He's a God that multiplies. Don't get distracted on the things in this life. And yes, it is so easy to do that. Our God loves you, and our God is amazing. He is going to continue to scatter those seeds, that one seed that can make a difference in your life. And if you don't know the God who has the seeds, if your heart was never soft enough, I pray that today's that moment that you could look back on your life 10 years, 5 years, a week from now and see a blossom 30, 60, 100 times of what was sown.
Well done, brother. Thanks. Well done. As a CFO right there. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for using your story for God's glory. Thanks for saying yes. I remember that day when you came into the lobby, and I'd never seen you before, and I think you might have even been dressed something like that, and said, here's my application. I'm like, okay, for what? He says, you need a CPA. I said, do you know somebody? He's like, yeah, it's me. I'm like, all right. And how many years ago was that?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. And let me tell you, my life has changed. I'm hanging out with this brother. God bless you, man. Right now, I'd ask our altar prayer team to come on down. And I really appreciate you all holding your spots. Thanks for working with us on that. Because maybe today your heart is some of that soft soil. You know, God has broken up some of that hard soil in your life. And